Thank you, G. I always like G praying right before I speak. I always love to hear Galen pray. Glad you guys are with us this morning here at Goreville First Baptist Church. If you walked in and you noticed, I am not Joseph Pike. I am Brian Murley, youth pastor here. So Joseph is out of town, and he asked me to step in this morning. So I have the opportunity to stand before you today, and I always look forward to the privilege of standing before you and sharing what God's laid on my heart. Beautiful day today. It's amazing. I've been thinking this week with all the rain that we have, and isn't it amazing how God just, all the water that He provided, now He provides sunshine and wind to dry everything out. So you guys can get back to mowing your yards. I mowed my yard Tuesday before all the rain came back, and it was an adventure. It was still wet, but it was really good. I always like to get out there, not really, because my eye allergies and everything else. But we're glad you're here this morning. This morning we're going to be in the book of James, chapter 1. James chapter 1. And we'll be here for a little bit this morning, just going to share what God's laid on my heart in the last few days. As I was considering praying about what the Lord should He'd have me speak on and about, and I'm one of those guys that I'm not going to be a guy that prepares a month out in advance. I'm a guy that I really like to see how my week's going and what, you know, things I've been going through or what, you know, really struck me as I read and stuff. So, and I really just allow to, you know, pray that God will use me. So James chapter 1, I'm going to ask you to stand one more time. Be the last time before the invitation. But let's read God's Word together. I'll be reading out the New Living Translation today. And I'll start with verse 2. Dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this gorgeous day that you blessed us with. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to come in your house this morning, Lord God, and just to come into your throne, Lord God, in your presence. What I pray this morning, Lord, is as I stand up here, Lord God, that I am only a vessel, Lord God, an empty vessel, Lord God, that you would fill, Lord, with your Spirit, Lord God, that your word would go forth, Father. God, it's I pray that this morning, Lord God, that our hearts and our minds would be open. Lord God, that you would just show us, Lord God, your grace, your love, how much you truly desire a relationship with us, God, and how much you're always there for us. Lord, I pray you bless this time. Bless the time we're together in your word. Bless each family that's represented here today. I pray that they would just have an amazing day in you, Lord God, and an amazing week with you. God, I pray that right now, Lord God, you would just take control. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. So James chapter 1, when this is James, this is Jesus' half-brother, not James the apostle. James is Jesus' half-brother, didn't really believe in Jesus until after Jesus was like, did all the stuff he said he was going to do. Sometimes, you know, we're those type of people. We don't necessarily believe something until it happens, you know. Even though that you know the guy or the girl and you really, I trust him, I believe him, but, you know, I just don't believe that. That story's a little hard to believe. Or that was, I just have a hard time believing that. Okay, sometimes that's us. And so James is writing here, and James is writing, it says here in back to verse 1, is written to Jewish Christians scattered among the nations. So James was the leader of the church of Jerusalem, and there was they were spread out everywhere because they didn't really have the support, though, that established churches have. So James wrote this letter to them as a concerned leader and encourage them in their faith during their difficult times. Okay? And James is one of those guys, he just flat out tells it how it is. This is what you need to do. You're like, man, this guy is, if you read the book of James, you're like, man, this guy is a little crazy, a little wacko. So that's where we're at today. And in the first there it says, dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy.
What?
Trouble, joy, trouble, joy, trouble. Those words usually in our human language don't go together. They usually are not synonymous with one another. Usually when we think of trials and we think of tribulation, we think of pain, we think of grief, we think of sadness, we think of heartache, we think of stress, we think of all these words. But joy? And yet James is saying, count it joy. Let it be an opportunity for joy. He doesn't say when. He doesn't say if trials come. He says when trials come. Too many times we have a misconception. Hey, I'm following Jesus. I'm reading God's Word. I'm studying. I'm walking with Him. I'm doing what He's called me to do. Why are these things happening to me? Why are these things happening to me? Lord, I'm doing what You said. Why am I facing trials? But He says, whenever trial comes your way, consider. It says, consider it a joy. In another translation, consider means to think about or regard something based on weighing and comparing of facts. It denotes deliberate and careful judgment stemming from external proof, not subjective judgment based on feelings. Too many times I think in our Christianity, in our walk with God, that we are about feelings and the way it makes me feel. I experienced a lot of church camps growing up in my day, especially back when I was in high school, junior high, and high school. And a lot of times those emotions did overcome. And it was a very emotional time, and those feelings came. And you know, when they gave the altar call and they told you you want to die and go to hell, and yeah, that's an emotional time. But too many times we play on those feelings, and then we may go to the altar and pray. You know, you can go come to this altar and pray 75,000 times because you feel bad because of the way you're living, but if nothing here changes, then you've just worn out the carpet. Trials are going to come, no matter what. My son faced trial Friday. God bless him. Luckily, the sectional tournament for fishing has been pushed back till tomorrow because of the high winds. And Ned can attest to that. He was out on the water the last few days. He knows how windy it was. Probably not the most safe place. So our boat had been in the shop for a couple of weeks. And for a boy that likes to fish every day, first of all, that's a trial in itself. Boat's in the shop, getting repaired. Let's back that up. For about four weeks ago, he calls me frantic from the lake saying something's wrong with the boat. So I drive out to the boat, out to the lake, find a dock, the people that we know, and he meets me there, and I try to tinker with it, and it seems to be working fine. Then he fishes for a little while longer, and he calls me back later and says, it won't go in gear. Now, to a 16-year-old boy that's out on the lake, you know, and out there fishing and practicing, and all of a sudden you're at the golf course. Ned knows what I'm talking about. You're at the golf course right there at the inlet, and you've got to make it all the way back to the marina without being able to put it in gear. That's a long troll, isn't it, Ned? That's a long troll. And so he gets it back in. The boat goes in the shop. So now, first of all, there's a trial. But overcome, we know people. We've lined up some boats and stuff people go out with. And so made a little bit better mood. Now, my 16-year-old, when things don't go his way, you know it doesn't go his way. You know. He is not the most pleasant person to be around when things don't go his way. Kind of like his dad. Okay, that apple does not fall far from the tree. If I'm not happy, you'll know it. If I'm not in a good mood, you'll know it. If something's bothering me, you'll know it. Same way with him. So we finally get the boat back out of the shop. We're all excited. We're going to practice Friday because the tournament's been pushed back to Monday. He gets out there, goes to crank on it to start the boat. But now, mind you, the boat's been on the charger all night long, been plugged in since I brought it home at 4 o'clock. It is now 8:30 in the morning, so it's been on the charger for about 16 hours. Gets it out there. Will not turn over. Boat will not turn over. So I'm teaching Thursday. I get a call. I start getting calls at about 8:45. 3 missed calls. I wonder what in the world he wants. And I always, when he's always on the lake, I always try to, you know, call him back because he's on the lake. You know, that's a big deal. Finally, get a hold of him. It won't start. I said, well, did you try jumping it? I tried to jump it from the trolling motor batteries. Won't jump. So they get the boat back, get it back on the trailer somehow. Then they're bringing it back in. And then the wheel, I have a dual axle trailer, so the wheel on the back, the bearing cup came off, the cap, but then the bearings go out on the wheel. So it was a very traumatic and trying day for my son. Not only for him, because now me, because he's called me 50,000 times, and I have now left work to come to try to assist him. Luckily, we had a half day, and we were just having a party, so it wasn't no big deal. But I came, and then I spent most of my day trying to take care of these trials for him. That's the way it is with us. We have all these trials. You know, we might have a bad day at work. A co-worker might accuse us of doing something. Or we might be, you know, getting called into the boss's office where we have no reason why. Like, what did I do? Or maybe, you know, you're dealing with a sick parent. Maybe you're dealing with a sickness of your own. Maybe it's one of those things like you sent in a payment and for some reason all of a sudden, they say we never got your payment. Or that they say that your check bounced or whatever. There are things that we go through every day in life. Jesus didn't say, pick up your cross and follow me. That's what he said, but he didn't say, oh, don't worry about picking up your cross. Life's just going to be easy once you accept me. Just sit back, chill, relax, and enjoy. Chill and watch some Netflix. That's not what's happening. He says, pick up your cross daily. It is a tough walk to follow Jesus. He says, whenever your trouble comes your way, whenever it will come, let it be an opportunity for joy. James doesn't say, if trouble, like I said, he says, when it does, we will all have troubles. But we need to look at it as an opportunity to grow in our walk with the Lord in order to trust Him and to trust and walk with Him more. And so we need to think about that. We need to have a radical attitude when it comes into trials. It says, consider it all joy, because that is so totally opposite of what the world would teach. The world would say, you got a trial? Well, you got a right to be mad. You got a right to stomp your feet. You got a right to throw and holler and yell and do all this stuff and be mad about it and sulking and have your own little pity party. But James challenges us. Look it for as an opportunity to be joy. Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 5:3, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And he wrote in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Now, that doesn't mean saying that you're going through all these bad things. Put on a big smile and say, hey, everything's all right. It's good. That's not what he's saying. He's saying we need to trust in the Lord because God is on His throne. This week I had the opportunity to give the message at the baccalaureate for the graduating seniors. And as I stood before them, God laid some scripture on my heart just about encouraging them that no matter what they're going through, no matter where they go in life, no matter where they leave home for college or if they go to the military or the workforce, and the same applies to us, that God is going to always be there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all your understanding. He wants us to rely on Him. Our society teaches us that we should not be relying on other people. You're a self-made person. It's all about me. No. If it was all about us and we could do it on our own, Jesus would not have to have died for our sin. But God knew that we needed a Savior, and He sent His only Son to die. Because of what troubles can produce in our life, James tells us to turn our hardships into times of learning. Tough times can teach us perseverance. And it can also teach us endurance. It can teach us many things about ourselves. Now, this attitude, this radical attitude toward trials does it not necessarily mean that we deny our emotional pain. It says in John 11, 33 and 35, it says that Jesus wept when Mary was weeping for the death of her brother Lazarus. When the Savior faced the cross, he did so with loud crying and tears. Paul instructs us, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. So like I said, James does not mean to put on our happy face and deny that you're hurting, but realize that God is there, that God is in control. It says, for when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Now, I am not a runner, nor have I ever really liked to run. I played basketball in junior high and high school, and the thing that I hated the most was the running. And I'm sure one of Ned's favorite things, and I know mine as a coach, was get on the line. I like to watch them run because I didn't have to. Okay? But as if you are a runner and you are training to run a 5K, you just don't go out and run a 2K or a 3K every day. You build up to that. You build your endurance. You build your stamina. When you get to where you can run 5K consistently, you run a little bit further, so 5K does not seem near as hard. And so that's one of kind of like what he's talking about. It's like when we have these opportunities, when we face these trials, we need to see them as opportunities to grow in our relationship with Christ. We can't know the depth of our character until we see how we react under pressure. Let me say that again. We cannot really know the depth of our character till we see how we react under pressure. A couple years ago, I bought new rain gear for my boat. For me, rain gear. Now, when you go in the store and it says rain gear, you're assuming that it's going to keep you dry when it rains. Hence the name rain gear. I don't know if it works. It says it works. It says it's supposed to keep me dry. I have no idea. In the store, because they don't have a rain machine where you can try it on and stand down there and go, all right, hit me. Yeah, you're right. This one's pretty good. Let me try another one. All right, let me see which one kept me drier. No, you don't know until you get out and you use it. First day we get out on the lake, we know it's going to be rain, put the rain gear in the boat. Oh, storm's going to happen. Put on the bibs, put on the jacket. Here comes the rain. Guess what? It worked. It worked. Same thing here. We don't know if things were always easy, we really don't know what our life and what our character is going to be. It's easy to be kind to others when everything's going well, isn't it? It's easy to be nice. But can we still be kind to them when they're treating us unfairly? When they accuse you of something? When they bad talk you behind your back? When they do that, can we still be nice to them? God wants to make us mature. He wants to make us complete. Not to keep us from pain, because there's pain in life, and it's hard, and it stinks. One of the hardest things I've gone through was losing my mom to cancer, and cancer is the nastiest thing in the world, and it's not a respecter of anyone, and that was a very difficult time. But through that, I learned to trust God, learned to have faith in Him, and learned to trust in Him and the things that she was going through, and knowing that, you know, that she is whole, that she is walking the streets of gold, actually probably clogging down the streets of gold and probably, you know, doing some other awesome things up there. But instead of complaining about our struggles, we should see them as opportunities for growth. We need to thank God for promising us that He's going to be with us through the rough times. It's easy to proclaim my trust in God. Anybody can say that, but the test of your faith is when you really do choose to trust God. Do you choose to trust God during this trial? Or do you choose to say, God, I cannot believe this is letting this happen to me. Can't believe it. Everything was going good. I was following you. I was reading your word. I was praying 75,000 times a day, God. I was praying without ceasing like you told me to. I was witnessing to my neighbors. I was talking to that person I know that doesn't really like me, but I was telling them Jesus loved me. Now you're making me go through this? Or do we trust God to know that He's going to bring us through that trial? to make us stronger, to make us trust Him more, to seek Him, and to know that He is in control. We have a choice when we're faced with a trial. Will I trust God and the promises of His Word as I've professed? I trust You, God, and we say that we do. Is that the decision, or are we just going to, are we not going to trust Him? To trust God and experience His hope and joy in the midst of trials is a radical attitude that James commands us to adopt. Excuse me. Verse 4. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. We need to thank God for promising to be with us in our rough times, in our good times, in our bad times. We need to be patient. We live in a society that we expect it. Oh, we got it. Boom, I can look it up on the internet. Boom, I got the, you know. And we're in an instantaneous society. You can put your food in a microwave, 30 seconds later, boom, dinner's done. We're not patient people. I know my wife will say, I'm not a patient person. But I'm a lot more patient than I was 30 years ago. But we need to be patient. We need to trust the Lord. He will bring us through it in those trials. And sometimes you're going to go through a trial. You're going to endure it. You're going to become stronger. So God then takes that and then uses that, the trial that you've been through, so you then can minister to the people that are around you. Gail and I have worked with kids now for a long time. Long time. There's things that I can relate to these kids that they're going through. There's other things that I cannot. But I know people that have gone through them. Like when I first started, Travis Foster was going, his mom and dad were getting divorced. I had no idea how to relate to that. His mom and dad were going through a divorce. Had no idea how to relate to that. My parents were married for a very long time. My grandparents were married for a very long time. My dad's mom and dad married a very long time. So nobody on my side of the family had yet at that point experienced a divorce. But one of the great things, I mean, I could sit there and I prayed with him, and I know it was a big time for him and everything, but one of the greatest things is that God used him then later on and many times throughout when he was working here with me in my ministry, that he got to witness and to share that experience with other students that were going through the same thing. God restored his relationship with his dad to the point where Travis got to witness to his father and bringing to the, and leading to the Lord and pray with him. We go through a lot of stuff. We don't understand why always, and we may or may never ever understand why. But God is not doing that to punish you. God's doing that to strengthen you. God's doing that to make you stronger in Him and to seek Him and to go through the things to understand that we need Him. I want to close with the story that John Piper relates from Amazing Story of Marie Durant. In the late 17th century in southern France, Marie was brought before the authorities and charged with the Huguenot heresy. In other words, being a Reformed Protestant. She was 14 years old, bright, attractive, marriageable. She was asked to recant her Huguenot faith. She was not asked to commit an immoral act, to become a criminal, or even to change the day-to-day quality of her behavior. She was only asked to say, "I recant." She refused. Together with 30 other Huguenot women, she was put into a tower by the sea and left there for 38 years. She and her fellow martyrs scratched on the wall of their prison tower the single word, "resist." Tourists still see and gape at the word on that stone. Author Carl Olson reflects on this and he says, "We can understand a religion which enhances time, but we cannot understand a faith which is not nourished by the temporal hope that tomorrow things will be better." To sit in a prison room with 30 others and see the day change into night and summer into autumn, to feel the slow systematic changes within one's flesh, the drying and wrinkling of the skin, the loss of muscle tone, the stiffening of the joints, the slow stupefaction of the senses, to feel all this and still persevere seems almost idiotic to a generation which has no capacity to wait and endure. Just as the jeweler refines the gold and gets all the dross out of it, all the impurities, in our lifetime, God is putting us through certain trials. We will endure certain trials just so that our faith can be tested, so that we can grow, so that we become more perfected in our walk with Him. Knowing that the testing of faith, of your faith, produces endurance, and submit to the refining process, let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That is one way that true faith responds with practical godliness under testing. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this day, Father. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your grace. Father, I praise you, Lord God, that we do go through things on a daily basis, Lord God. Some are huge, some are small, some are just trivial, Lord God. But we know that if we trust you, Father God, and we seek you with all that we are, Lord God, that you will be there for us. Lord God, as it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Lord God, I pray that we will continually seek you each and every day of our lives, Lord God. God, that we would trust you with the things that you lay before us, Lord God. I know that as we go through these things, Lord God, we will feel hurt, we'll feel pain, we'll feel anger, Lord God, but let us trust in you, Lord God. Let us lay these trials at your feet, Lord God, and use those, Lord God, to help us to perfect our faith in you and to become strong in our walk with you each and every day. In the name of Jesus, amen.